Welcome back to episode 127 of the Guardian Project podcast. I'm your host, Andy. And one time, I had an inspired idea.
One time? Only one time?
An inspired idea.
Oh, okay. And I'm your other host, Mike. And Innistrad keeps introducing us to these new legendary frogs, but I just don't see them coming back when it comes from set to set. I mean, what happened? Did they all croak?
Yes.
Thank you.
And this is the podcast where we talk about all things Magic the Gathering.
But mostly Commander.
So this week we've learned a bit more about the Innistrad double feature set coming out. This will be coming out January 28th, 2022, available local at your local WPN stores. This is the set that is combining cards from Innistrad Midnight Hunt and Innistrad Crimson Vow into a draft-ready set. So each box will come with 24 draft boosters, English only, will have 15 cards. Four of them are going to be commons from Midnight Hunt, and four will be commons from Crimson Vow. Two uncommons from Midnight Hunt, and two uncommons from Crimson Vow. A rare from each set, or a mythic from each set. So a rare or a mythic. And then one silver screen foil card, which is a black and white artwork printed as a traditional foil using a special silver substrate finished with the glossy varnish like those Showcase Eternal Knight cards we already know about. But each draft booster is going to contain two non-foil double face cards. One will be from Midnight Hunt, one will be from Crimson Vow. And we'll have a link to this in the show notes below, but there is a full list of cards that are in Midnight Hunt and Crimson Vow, or I guess from each of those sets that are going into this combined set. And if you draft this, there's going to be a preview event. You can actually get yourself a special Endless Ranks of the Dead card, which is very cool.
Very cool.
Very, it's, very cool.
It's going to be 267 cards from each set included in this set. Some rough math from Scryfall looks like there was like 350 cards for each set. So you're going to not see about 90 cards from each set, but all the rest are going to be in this set. So it's going to be a massive, massive, massive
set. I looked at a few of the ones from Midnight Hunt because it's the set that I drafted the most. And Blade Stitch Scab, the one that gives zombies +1/+0s in there. So I'm hoping I can just go hard on zombies again. And maybe with the werewolves, they've added all of them, so maybe it's a bit more dense.
Hopefully.
It wasn't unplayable, but it was definitely the most difficult, I think, to make work.
Sure.
Because if you didn't get like eight of them,
right,
it didn't feel like your cards were, you know, mixing too well.
And maybe it'll be harder to get some of the legendaries, but easier to get some of the uncommons and stuff that make those decks work.
Yeah. I mean, four and four. I mean, I guess we are getting four uncommons in these, it does say. So that's an additional uncommon that we wouldn't normally see. Usually see three.
Yeah.
And potentially three rares. Or or three mythics. It could be three.
Three mythics?
Because it could be, it's a rare or a mythic in two different spots. One for Midnight Hunt, one for Crimson Vow, and the Silver Showcase. So it could be three mythics.
You could have three mythics all in one pack, but you can only draft one of them.
Yeah.
Oh. Next, we wanted to talk about something that you might have seen blowing up on Twitter a lot. And that is this Viserys Seer that was backwards printed. So included in, so far we've only seen them in the Phyrexian Foil Complete Edition Secret Lair drop. There are these backwards printed Viserys Seers listed from what we assume to be numbered 1 through 100, but only six have been found so far. So the numbers that have been found is number 15, 39, 58, 70, 77, and
I think sixth. I think number six might be that. So there's a tweet that we can link to. So it's actually from Star City Ben on Twitter, who's been following this. I think the first one, if I checked it at the end and I saw it, there were some finance folks talking about it. The Vizier Seer that was printed backwards that was auctioned off. I think it was an eBay auction, I assume.
Yeah.
It ended around $5,000.
For a Vizier Seer. Interesting.
Still great card.
Yeah.
Do like it. Pretty Connell-centric.
You can get a full art foil Viserys Seer from Commander Legends probably for a very small percentage of the price that this person paid for their Viserys.
That's a lot of money. You know, if you got it, go for it, I guess.
I think if you are about to spend that much money on magic, I personally would recommend investing into OG dual lands. But
yeah, and it looks like it's 0 to 1 to 100 or what is what we're assuming.
Yeah.
And there haven't been any other inserts that we found that are numbered like this. You can still get the Phyrexian Swamp. You can still get those sketch arts of like Ornithopter and like Rogue's Passage and Swiftfoot Boots and stuff. You
can probably still get an uncommon stained glass planeswalker in yours, because that's what's going to be.
You
in
can
mine,
get your
sure.
fifth stained glass Arlen exactly. that makes an extra wolf. At least it's Innistrad right
now.
You got
Innistrad. Now you can use it every green deck that you play.
You can. So when mine arrives, I still don't have shipping on mine, and I did order mine pretty early. I'll let you know if I get. I mean, I'll be first to tweet.
No, you won't let me know. You'll move to another state from all the money that you
make. Yeah, I'm going to make 10,000 on mine, because I'll open a good number.
You're going to open number one? Number 100?
100? Oh, the very last one.
Very first? The very last?
Very first, the very last. So,
who knows?
And the final update here is that I'm going to be at MTG Vegas this weekend. I am very excited.
Nice.
This is my first time going to Vegas. I've never been.
It's fun.
Yeah. Have you only been once or twice?
I've been once, and I ever since I've wanted to go back.
Yeah.
I love it, though.
So when I'm there, if you see me, stop me to say hi. I'm going to have Guardian Project podcast tokens, a few of our Guardian Project proxies. So if you would like a card, I will have them. I want to give them out. I have been working on pulling together a bunch of cards to go get signed. I was never someone who really wanted to get cards signed. And it's a cool thing to have.
Yeah.
Because you're like, this one's special because it's been signed by the person who created the art. So there's a few cards, actually, not many from my cube that I want to get signed, more so that aren't in my cube. Mm-hmm. The only two cube cards that I'm actually running in my cube that have the artist going is Tomic, Distinguished Advocate.
Okay.
And then one of the arts for the Selesnya Guildgate.
Gotcha.
Otherwise, none of the artists that...
You could have two signatures in your cube.
I got two signatures, two foil cards. But I have a lot of cards I want to get signed, but only in a small number of cards.
Mm, okay.
So I think it would be really funny if I were to have Howard Lyon sign all of my very profitable Oketra's Last Mercy.
Every single one. What if they charge you per card?
That's
for
a signature? Fine. You go in and you do it. We could do those as giveaways on this show. That'd be really funny. And also my 100 foil access tunnels could get signed by Alyssa Danner, who's going to be there. Alana Danner is going to be there.
That would be cool.
I think I only have 90 because I've put them in 10 decks.
Okay.
I put that card in everything.
I put that. It's Frank's Red Hot.
Frank's Red Hot. I put that in everything.
Yeah.
I don't. So I had tweeted about it, actually. And the reason I tweeted about it is because I was pulling all these cards to go get signed. And I have found so much more often now that I'm adding Access Tunnel, and it is valuable, more so than that Rogue's Passage. And it, to the point that it's the difference, that one mana difference is the difference between me activating the unblockable ability and doing something else in my turn than just activating the ability.
Yeah.
It's five lands to activate Rogue's Passage.
It's true. It's a lot. It's a lot to do it.
Four for Access Tunnel, but
I know I was reading some of the responses and I didn't end up responding because everyone that responded was just going to say the same thing. It's like, I have these situations where I want to swing with creatures that are larger than four power, which is why I play Rogue's Passage. I'm like, but at the same time, have you ever really looked at your other decks to see, should I be playing Access Tunnel?
Yeah, I don't. I almost never use the Rogue's Passage because it's five. It's almost every. Yeah, it's almost expensive. Everything. It's all my resources for that turn. Mm-hmm. And sometimes all I want to do is activate a creature that when it deals damage, I draw a card. And I don't feel like attacking with a 2/1 or whatever it is and paying five mana is worth it.
Right.
It might not be worth it still for four mana, but it feels better
because
I can probably also play my Arcane Signet and do that as opposed to not being able
That's very true. Yeah.
So if you are going to be at Vegas, I'm excited to meet you. So stop me. I have not made any hard and fast plans other than I'm going to play Commander. I'm going to be meeting lots of people. I'll be in the command zone one of the days, in and out. But we're getting there on Thursday and then flying home on Monday. So I'll be there for 4 days.
There you go.
That's plenty of time.
You'll have a great time.
But and the weather's supposed to be nice.
But you're not super interested in like gambling or anything,
I'm not.
Right?
I'm not. So I mean, I think to go and gamble, I mean, I probably need to at least go to like a slot machine of some sort to say I've gambled in Vegas.
You could just buy a pack of magic cards in Vegas. That's gambling in Vegas.
It is. I probably am going to go because I've been told you can get beverages.
Yes.
If you're gambling.
Faux free. Yeah.
So, you know, maybe yes, a little cocktail.
It's like, got to spend money to make money, except you're not making money. You're making alcohol go into your mouth.
But if I spend 10 and make 50, I can go buy something shiny.
That's true.
at the command zone.
Very true. Make sure to tip your servers.
Exactly. But before we continue, we want to thank all of our listeners and to all of our patrons. Thank you so much for your support. If you want to support us, you can head to patreon.com/guardianprojectpod and donate for any dollar amount.
And you're looking for another way to support the podcast, whatever platform you are enjoying the podcast on now, if you could subscribe, rate, review, and leave comments, we would be most appreciative.
You can find us online at the Guardian Project Podcast. You can find our social media on Twitter at Guardian Pod, on Instagram at Guardian Project Podcast, and our gameplay videos at youtube.com/theguardianproject. And if you want to email us, you can email us at guardianprojectpod@gmail.com. I did sneak in the Instagram link now because I realized it's been a long time since we've talked about it, and I use it every week now.
Yeah.
Folks, I understand Instagram. You post photos and people like them.
That's it. Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing on Twitter too.
Except people dislike them on Twitter. No,
I'm no, kidding. they retweet yeah, them, true. And it feels like the same thing, just a different platform. So, I'm an Instagram user. I am hip, as the kids say.
Are we Instagram famous yet?
No.
Oh, okay, we'll get there.
We have way more people now that we actually use it though. It's been, I think, the last like 30 episodes or something like that we've been using it. Mostly because I finally remembered the password and set it up as a bookmark
on my
toolbar. So I see it all the time.
Yeah. Perfect.
Very good at social media. I'm very good.
I'm glad you are, because we know I am not.
Coyle, what are we talking about this week?
So we finally have every single card, you know, just like last week, we had every single card from Innistrad Crimson Vow released, and we talked about our favorite cards last week. This week, we're hopping over to commanderspellbook.com, and we are going to look at commander combos brought to us by cards from Innistrad Crimson Vow. So it's going to be some combo-tastic time.
You know, you might say it's an amalgamation, a merger, an aggregation of cards, or a combo, some might say. Do you want to kick us off with our first card? So we're going to talk about these cards in chunks now so we can explain what the card is. And this first one actually has more combos listed on it than any others. Mm-hmm. It's a really cool card that is very reminiscent of something that we were hoping to have been printed, but we didn't get a Parallel Lives. But that's we did right. get Necro Duality.
Necro Duality is a crazy, crazy good card. It's a blue enchantment for 3 and a blue. Says whenever a non-token zombie enters the battlefield under your control, create a token that's a copy of that creature. So you're not required to cast the card. It's just an enter the battlefield, and it's not like the adventure bookteller guy from AFR that I don't know why I can't Volo that cared about if you control the creature of the same type already. Necro Duality doesn't care. So every time a zombie enters the battlefield under your control, you're going to get a token copy of it. It's going to combo off with quite a few different cards. And the first one here is Rothulk. Rothulk is a 7 mana zombie, 5 black black for 5 power and 5 toughness that has menace that says when Rothulk enters the battlefield, return up to X target zombie cards from your graveyard to the battlefield, where X is the number of opponents you have. The other card in this combo is going to be Phyrexian Altar, a 3 mana artifact that says sacrifice a creature, add 1 mana of any color. So what's going to happen is, so I guess the color combination here is only in blue-black. So you're going to be able to do this in your very generic blue-black zombies deck. And what's going to happen is you're going to have Necro Duality on the battlefield. You're going to have 7 mana in order to cast Rot Hulk or some other way to get Rot Hulk onto the battlefield. And you have Phyrexian Altar out there. When Rot Hulk enters the battlefield, Necro Duality will trigger, along with Rot Hulk's Enter the Battlefield will trigger. It is important to note that when this trigger goes on the stack, you have to choose your target for Rot Hulk. So Rot Hulk is never going to be able to target itself. But since Necro Duality trigger is also on the stack at this time, and your second Rot Hulk is not on the battlefield yet, you can sacrifice Rot Hulk to Phyrexian Altar. Your second Rot Hulk can resolve, bringing back your first Rot Hulk, which will again trigger Necro Duality and go infinite. So doing this, you're going to get an infinite number of Rot Hulk tokens. You're going to have an infinite number of colored mana if you decide to sacrifice them with your Phyrexian Altar. Infinite enter the battlefield and leave the battlefield triggers, death triggers, sacrifice triggers, and you'll be able to return all zombies from your graveyard to the battlefield given you have at least one opponent.
This is one of the more expensive combos, though, money-wise.
Sure.
So Necro Duality is one of the more expensive cards from the set. Phyrexian Altar is a very expensive combo piece, but Rot Hulk is from that special game night set that was not massively opened.
Right.
And Rot Hulk wasn't a very combo-centric piece until Midnight Hunt came out. Will Help works very, it works really well in Will Help decks. And its price just kind of skyrocketed. We've also seen other cards that set skyrocket. But I really like this. I think Necro Duality is another version of the, the Lit Jara card. Reflections of Lit Jara. And this is only for zombies, though.
Right.
So but it works. So you can have two almost.
I think Reflections, if I'm not mistaken, does also require you to cast the card, though, where this only cares about enter the battlefield. Although I could be mistaken.
Yeah, looking at it, it says whenever you cast. So okay.
But it doesn't care about creature type, or you get to name the creature type with Reflections, where this is specific to zombies.
That's true. Now, the next, staying on Necro Duality, we can also use Gravecrawler and Phyrexian Altar. Mm-hmm. So Necro Duality has to be out on the battlefield. Either you can have Gravecrawler in your hand, or you can have it in your graveyard with a zombie on the battlefield. And then you have to have Phyrexian Altar, which will allow you to cast Gravecrawler. You will get a second Gravecrawler because of Necro Duality. And then you can sack the original or the non-token Gravecrawler. Since you're going to have a Gravecrawler, you can rinse and repeat. So you're going to get infinite creature tokens of Gravecrawler, infinite colored mana, whatever color you want, enter the battlefield, leave the battlefield triggers, death triggers, sacrifice triggers, and I guess if you're playing something with Storm, you got the Storm count. This slots right into Will Help decks
for sure. You're probably,
if you're playing combo Will Help, you probably already have Gravecrawler and Phyrexian Altar, and Necro Duality I think is that card that is going to be added if you open it to a Will Help deck. I was planning on adding it, and I think I have the other two in there already. It's just a perfect fit.
Like there was that there's a zombie in Will Help that can sacrifice one of your zombies to make two token copies of it that a lot of people are including into it. This is an enchantment that's going to do it without having to sacrifice. So I think this is actually kind of an upgrade, a strict upgrade if you want to take that creature out and put this enchantment in. I would recommend running both.
Yeah.
It is important to note Phyrexian Altar is the only sacrifice outlet for this combo that will work because it does have to produce that black mana to cast it. We didn't mention it before, but in the previous combo with Rot Hulk, you can use any sacrifice outlet. It's just what you get out of your sacrifice outlet is what you're ending up with. So if you had red with a Gomblu Bombardment, you could kill everyone with it. If you had Altar of Dementia, you could mill everyone out or something like that. So just wanted to go back and make sure that I pointed that out before moving on to the next Necro Duality combo, this time including an enchantment called Rooftop Storm that we got in the Will Help deck reprint. So Rooftop Storm is a 6 mana enchantment that says you may pay 0 rather than pay the mana cost for zombie creature spells you cast. We have Cloudstone Curio for 3 mana artifact. This is whenever a non-artifact permanent comes into play under your control, you may return another permanent you control that shares a permanent type with it to its owner's hand. In combination with any zombie that you have, you can cast a zombie for 0 mana with Rooftop Storm. Necro Duality is going to create a copy of it. And when that copy enters the battlefield, Cloudstone Curio can bounce the original zombie back to your hand, and you can rinse and repeat. to create an infinite number of creature tokens, an infinite number of enter the battlefield and leave the battlefield triggers, an infinite storm, because you are also going to be casting this card. I recommend using Gray Merchant of Asphodel. That's going to drain for two, then drain or drain for two and four, then drain for four and six, then drain for six and eight, and then you win quickly, at least that way. No swings having to do it. Obviously, you can replace Rooftop Storm with something like Omniscience or something that's going to make all of your spells free, not specific to zombies. You can combine it with a Morophon and Joda Archmage Eternals and name zombies. That way your zombies cost Wooburg and then cost Wooburg less to cast. Anywhere where you can actually just have your stuff cast for free.
Yeah. And the final combo using Necroduality here is a win the game combo, which I really like these. These do require, there's quite a few combinations to actually make this, but this requires Necroduality, the card Biovisionary, a way to change creature types to make all creatures a specific creature type, and then a way to blink a creature. So we have a few different options, but looking at Biovisionary, it is a 2/3 human wizard for one, a green and a blue, that says at the beginning of the end step, if you control four more creatures named Biovisionary, you win the game. So you need something to be able to turn all creatures into zombies here. So cards like Maskwood Nexus, that says creatures you control are every creature type. A card like Arcane Adaptation, an enchantment that when it enters the battlefield, you choose a creature type and your creatures are that type. Cards like Xenograft, which is another enchantment. Each creature is the chosen type in addition to its other types. Or even in some cases, you could even use the card Conspiracy in black that again is an enchantment that you choose a creature type, and creature cards that you own that are not in play and own are that chosen type. And then you need to be able to blink your creature. So there's a few cards you can use, like Deadeye Navigator, if you have it soul bound to the Biovisionary. Emil the Blessed in white is a pay three to blink. Eldrazi Displacer, also in white for two and an actual colorless mana, allows you to blink. So the goal here is you have Necroduality out. You're going to play your card to override the creature types, and then you can play Biovisionary, make a second one, and then you need to blink it. So if Deadeye Navigator is soulbound, you can pay one and a blue, exile that creature, return it, make another zombie. And the whole point is you're trying to make four of them. As soon as your end step hits, you have four zombie Biovisionaries. You win the game. This is what I love.
That's really cool.
And there's so many combinations of it. It can go into a four color deck. Anything sans red. So that's what, is that Atraxa? Sans red?
Sans red is Atraxa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to play this in Atraxa with just a bunch of overriding creatures, Atraxa zombies, just seems fun.
That would be
fun. Or partners, just getting anything but red partners.
Yeah.
You can play this.
Maybe there's a really complicated way you can set up your blink function by putting a dramatic reversal under an Isochron Scepter and having a second Isochron Scepter with a blink effect at instant speed underneath that. So you can keep untapping your Isochron Scepter that has a blink spell under it with your dramatic reversal Isochron Scepter. And then you need at least four colorless mana on top of that in order to do it infinitely for free, even though you only have to do it three times. Three times. You only have to blink three times. It's actually very mana efficient, too. You know, Emil the Blessed costs three mana, three generic mana to blink. Deadeye Navigator costs one and a blue. Potentially, you only need like eight mana to set up this game-winning combo. Fantastic. Love it. So, the next card that we have, since now we're done talking about Necroduality for this episode. We're going to talk about Necroduality for like
forever.
The next 10 years or something. But a new Planeswalker from Innistrad Crimson Vow, and that is Sorin the Mirthless. And you don't usually hear about Planeswalkers as part of combo, so let's dig into this one. Sorin the Mirthless for four mana, two black. You get a four loyalty Planeswalker Sorin with a +1 that says, look at the top card of your library. You may reveal that card and put it into your hand. If you do, you lose life equal to its mana value. -2 to create a 2/3 black vampire zombie creature token with flying and lifelink. Or the one we care about for this combination, the -7 that says Sorin the Mirthless deals 13 damage to any target and you gain 13 life. In combination with this amazing card from Eldritch Moon called Tree of Perdition that I've been playing with my entire commander career, For 4 mana, 3 and a black, you get a creature plant with 0 power and 13 toughness with keyword Defender that says tap, exchange target opponent's life total with Tree of Perdition's toughness. So obviously we're going to try to ultimate Sorin after making someone's life total 13 with Tree of Perdition. But Sorin's only going to come out with 4 loyalty. It's -7 to ultimate. So anything where we can double the number of counters that Sorin has when it enters the battlefield, any sort of doubling season-like effect, or Vorinclex Monstrous Rider from Kaldheim will do the same thing. Make it so that Sorin enters with 8 loyalty counters, and then you can -7 right away. Tree of Perdition with the trigger on the stack even, so that someone can only respond to it at instant speed, instantly killing one person in the game. And then Tree of Perdition will no longer have 13 toughness, so it's going to be a little bit harder to repeat that. But it's technically possible.
It is. I guess Blanket. Who knows?
I played it in Shirei for a little while.
Have you ever flipped? Have you ever traded the life of someone? I don't remember.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Many, many times.
It's cool when it happens.
It's it's kind of a feel bad sometimes. And then someone tries to get you, and then you realize that, like, I think Tree of Perdition isn't only opponent. Oh, it's only opponents, but you can give someone 40 life. You can be like, I want to be your friend. I'll give you the 40 life I just stole from them.
I've been playing around with Soul. I believe it's Soul Conduit in that Jaren deck that's been trading life around. Mm-hmm. And it's fun. And I have been able to do that where someone was really getting beaten up. And I said, I'm actually just going to flip your 2 life totals. Mm-hmm. And then I quickly became the target, realizing, yes, oops, I should not have flipped someone's life that was at 40 with the person who was at like 12.
Oh, true.
Because then my 40 was no longer 40.
I can imagine
that. Yeah. The next combo is with the card Torrens, Fist of the Angels. So this is a human cleric 2/2 for 1 and green and 1 green white with training, but it says whenever you cast a creature spell, create a 1/1 green and white human soldier creature token with training. We're going to work to get infinite enter the battlefield, leave the battlefield, death triggers, sacrifice triggers, and storm count by using cards like Shrieking Drake with Phyrexian Altar. So all you really have to do is get Torrens out on the battlefield, have a sack outlet that can make colored mana in this instance. You're going to cast a Shrieking Drake for 1 blue. Shrieking Drake is a 1/1 that says when it comes on end of the battlefield, return a creature you control to its owner's hand. So what you're going to do is cast that Shrieking Drake. You will make a 1/1 green and white soldier because of Torrens. Shrieking Drake will trigger to return itself to your hand. You can sacrifice that human that you just made to get 1 blue mana, and you can just keep going. So you're just getting a bunch of triggers. Now you are in Bant colors, and Torrens, in this instance, cannot be your commander.
Right. Yeah. Because of the inclusion of blue. But if we didn't care so much about the 1 mana pip of Shrieking Drake, there's another creature that we could use in white, and we can actually keep the combo in green white, and that's with White Mane Lion. So White Mane Lion is a 2 mana creature cat for 2 power and 2 toughness with flash that says when White Mane Lion enters the battlefield, return a creature you control to its owner's hand. So for 2 mana, yeah, it's going to return, but you're not going to be able to sacrifice it to your Phyrexian Altar for 1 color and be able to recast it a bunch. So how about using the enchantment Alorin? So Alorin is on the reserve list. It's a little bit expensive, but if you can get your hands on one, it's a really great combo piece. It's a 4 mana enchantment for 2 green-green that says any player may play creature cards with converted mana cost 3 or less without paying their mana cost and as though they had flash. So you do have to worry, maybe someone else is going to flash out their stuff for free. You know, hopefully they didn't build their deck around Alorin the way that you're going to build yours around Alorin. But this just allows you to cast White Mane Lion for free, and White Mane Lion's trigger is going to return itself. Again, creating that combination with Torrens. You're going to have infinite creature tokens and then infinite enter the battlefield and leave the battlefield triggers. And since you're casting White Mane Lion, it's also infinite storm in green white is actually relevant now with Squirrel Storm from Modern Horizons 2. So you can make...
Is it Chatter Storm?
Chatter Storm. Yeah, it's Squirrel
Storm. I knew what you meant. Squirrel Storm. I think it's cool that you've got it in green white, and it's another infinite creature token deck similar to the one with the aura from Theros Beyond Death.
Yes.
Is what this feels like to me. You're making a bunch of 1/1s. The training is kind of cool though.
Yeah. And they all and yeah, I mean, training on Torrens, or do the tokens get training as well?
The tokens have training.
Oh, that's really I know. Good.
So we've got a commander. We've got a training commander.
Yeah. You could play this in a, if you made Torrens a +1/+1 counter commander, then you can play some of those combinations that we got from Modern Horizons 2 with Scurry Oak and stuff and the life gain. And obviously a tokens deck. Maybe you're going to be already be putting in your Soul Sisters in there and everything. So,
and this is the two sets ago when we had Adventures in Forgotten Realms.
Yeah.
If you decided to pick up an Aloran, then you were able to use that with the Asurarak deck.
Oh, yeah.
So we're seeing more cards that combo with it. It's one of those cards, reserve list, it is very expensive. I do wish I had a copy. I just don't, and I'm not going to go out to pick it up just for something like this. But if you have it, I'd be trying all these out, yeah, for
now,
sure.
We're not a finance podcast by any means. I think Aloran is underpriced right now compared to a lot of reserve list cards out there, personally. Oh. I think you can get it for like $60. And to me, this is a combo piece used in a lot of decks that, I don't know, could see... I mean, it's less money than a food chain, and food chain's not on reserve list. So I'll just put that one out there for you to ponder about. Speaking of ponder, just kidding. Ponder's not part of the combos. But the next combo we have is regarding an enchantment called Sigarda's Summons. It's a rare. I hadn't heard anyone really talking about this card at all, so I'm really glad that there's a combo with it, and we're gonna see it.
There's quite a few combos with it, actually.
It combos with quite a few things. The first one I talk about is one in all in mono white, which I think is really cool. So Sigarda Summons for 4 white-white. It's an enchantment. It says creatures you control with a +1/+1 counter on them have base power and toughness 4/4, have flying, and are angels in addition to their other types. Bishop of Wings is a 2-mana human cleric from our M20 set. So for white-white, you get a 1/4. It says whenever an angel enters the battlefield under your control, you gain 4 life. Or the more important part of the text, whenever an angel you control dies, create a 1/1 white spirit creature token with flying. In combination with something that is going to be putting +1/+1 counters on our creatures, like Cather's Crusade, an enchantment for 5 mana. This is whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control, and a sacrifice outlet such as Phyrexian Altar. We've talked about it before. 3 mana, sack a creature to add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. You can create a board state that has Bishop of Wings on it, Sigarda's Summons on it, Cather's Crusade on it, Phyrexian Altar on it. And what you're going to be doing is whenever a creature enters the battlefield, it's going to get a +1/+1 counter, become an angel. You can sacrifice it with Bishop of Wings trigger. You're going to make a 1/1 spirit creature. That creature is going to enter, trigger Cather's Crusade, get a +1/+1 counter, become an angel itself. And you're going to be able to repeat that to infinite, to have infinite colored mana, infinite +1/+1 counters on your other creatures. Infinite, enter the battlefield, leave the battlefield, death triggers, and sacrifice triggers, all in mono white. Seems pretty cool, and it involves 2 enchantments and an artifact, which are all very tutorable in a mono white deck. It's just another way to combo off, and it's in an angels deck.
It is, cool. And I like that you can add red to this. So instead of using Phyrexian Altar as your sac outlet, you can use Thermopod. So sac a creature, add red to your mana pool. You can add green to this, and so you can replace your Cather's Crusade with a card like Bloodspore Thrynax, which has Devour 1. So as it enters, you can sack any number of creatures. This creature enters with that many +1/+1 counters on it. And then it says each other creature you control enters the battlefield with an additional X +1/+1 counters, where X is the number of +1/+1 counters on it. So a little bit more setup, but you can do that. And then you can even combine those two cards. So the sack outlet being Thermopod in red and Bloodspore Thrynax in green, to have it in Naya colors. Yeah. So you have a little bit of redundancy in a Naya deck, even if you wanted to do this.
Yeah.
Goblin Bombardment. Wonderful. I mean, there's a few options.
Yeah. None of them include a legendary creature. So you're not, you know, particularly tied down to a particular type of deck or anything. Stick this in your 5-color good stuff deck, 5-color combo deck or something like that. I think it's a really unique way to finish out a game.
Yeah, I I would like to see this. I see Bishop of Wings played a lot on Arena.
Yeah.
It always does a lot of work on Arena when I play against it. So this will be a cool one to run into. Now, I'd like to look at a card that combos with extra combats. I have an extra combat deck right now, but this is not mono red. This is actually red black with Olivia Crimson Bride. So Olivia is a 3/4 Vampire Noble for 4 black and a red, flying in haste. And it says, whenever Olivia Crimson Bride attacks, return target creature from your graveyard to the battlefield tapped and attacking. It gains, when you don't control a legendary vampire, exile this creature. Which, by the way, I know we didn't talk about Olivia last week, but I like the flavor on Olivia being that as long as like the lineage of vampires is growing, you get to keep all these. And once the legendary vampires are gone, they're all gone.
Cut off the head, kills the body.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy good flavor. But this combos with a very great card.
Very great.
Named Port Razor from Commander Legends. And a sack outlet to do a few different things. So in this case, Port Razor is a 4/4 Orc Pirate for 3 red. It says, whenever Port Razor deals combat damage to a player, untap each creature you control after this combat phase. There's an additional combat phase. It can attack the player it's already attacked. And then you combine it with an enchantment like Goblin Bombardment, which says, sacrifice a creature. It deals 1 damage to any target. So what you need to do is have Port Razor in your graveyard. You need the Olivia on the battlefield, and you need a Goblin Bombardment. Olivia won't have Summoning Sickness because it does have haste. And then you have to have an opponent that isn't going to be able to block the Port Razor, much like the last time Coil killed me with Port Razor because I didn't have a creature to block and I didn't see it coming.
That's the only way to do it.
So what you're going to do is you attack with Olivia, you bring back your Port Razor with Olivia's trigger, and you attack somebody who doesn't have a blocker. So the Port Razor is going to get through. So it will, in fact, trigger an additional combat, untapping each creature that had attacked. Second main phase, or I guess not even second main, but before that next combat, you're going to sacrifice the Port Razor with Goblin Bombardment to deal 1 damage to something.
Sure.
And then you're going to go to your next combat and rinse and repeat. So Olivia's going to bring that back that Port Razor. That Port Razor is going to swing at that poor soul that didn't have a blocker, unfortunately. So they're going to die from Port Razor damage.
Yep.
And everyone else is going to die from Goblin Bombardment damage.
Okay.
But I think in this case, what you're doing is if somebody else does have a blocker, you're going to ping that down their blocker so that when you're done taking out the one person with your 4/4s, you still have another person to do it to.
Right.
If someone has an indestructible blocker, you're going to end up stopping with the combo at that point.
Sure.
But Olivia is still swinging in the air. So, right. I mean, there's still 3 damage going somewhere.
Right. I was trying to think, like, if you could somehow, you have to do seven damage per swing if you're swinging with Port Razor and Olivia at the same time, meaning you could hit someone, what, like six times, 7 times before they're dead?
So I think what's going to happen here is you're going to swing at one person with your 4/4 Port Razor, and then the person who has an indestructible blocker or something is going to get hit with an Olivia in the air.
Okay.
And then the ping from the Goblin Bombardment.
Okay.
It is what my initial thought process is here. So you're doing 4 and 4, and you get to hit the person with the blocker for 4 as many times as the person who you're swinging at Port Razor has life,
right?
In divisible by 4,
right? So hopefully you get like 10 swings and 10 Goblin Bombardment triggers, and that's enough.
Even 6 might be enough, right? 24 damage, depending on, I mean, if you're playing your commander at 6 mana, you have a Goblin Bombardment out and Port Razor in the graveyard, chances are you're probably already on turn 5 or 6, so some damage has probably been done.
That's true.
Yeah.
But there's an Alora player that has 200 life.
Oh my gosh. And no blockers.
And though. No blockers. Allowing me to win the game.
Yeah. This is a cool combo. I would like to see it.
And it's in Rakdos with Olivia. So Olivia can be your commander. It does give me a lot of like Alesha Who Smiles at Death vibes with the whole returning creature.
Returning.
But not in Mardu. Now you have it in Rakdos. So very cool. So Grolnok the Omnivore
is the cutest froggy ever.
I mentioned some frogs on Innistrad. This is the frog that we got this time on Innistrad. And Grolnok is the center of quite a few combos here.
There's a lot. And
really
there's,
good ones.
There's a combo that I actually had brewed with the Slowgurk deck. So we'll get to that. But the first one is very cool. One that I did not think existed.
So it's Grolnok the Omnivore. So let's go over Grolnok here real quick. 4 mana, 2 green to blue. You get a 3/3 frog. It says whenever a frog you control attacks, mill 3 cards. Whenever a permanent card is put into your graveyard from your library, exile it with a croak counter on it. You may play lands and cast spells from among cards you own in exile with croak counters on them. Some people looked at this and they said, frog tribal, because I want to attack with a bunch of frogs. Some people said this is like milling and trying to cast things from exile. How about a combo that does that for us? So Sensei's Divining Top, everyone's favorite 1 mana artifact that makes games go way too long. For 1 generic mana, you have an artifact where you can pay 1 generic mana to look at the top 3 cards of your library and put them back in any order. Or the important part for us, tap and draw a card, then put Sensei's Divining Top on top of its owner's library. In combination with the enchantment Jace's Erasure, a 2 mana enchantment from M12, this is whenever you draw a card, you may have a target player, you're going to be targeting yourself, put the top card of his or her library into his or her graveyard. And then in combination with anything that's going to make your artifacts cost 1 mana less, Aetherium Sculptor is the example that we have here. Artifact spells you cost 1 less to cast, in order to make sure Sensei's Divining Top actually costs us 0. So what we're going to do is we're going to have Grolnok, Sensei's Divining Top, Jace's Erasure, and our Aetherium Sculptor all in the battlefield at the same time. We're going to activate Sensei's Divining Top by tapping it, drawing a card, and putting the top card of our library into exile. But that's not going to happen until Sensei's Divining Top is on our library. So that ability will resolve completely before Jace's Erasure triggers, milling our Sensei's Divining Top into exile with a frog counter on it. We're going to be able to cast Sensei's Divining Top for free, because it's going to cost 0 with our artifact reducer, and we're going to be able to do that for our entire deck. We're going to draw our entire deck, and we're going to be casting the Sensei's Divining Top every single time. Hopefully, when we have every single card of our deck in our hand, we'll be able to win the game.
There's a good chance you're going to win the game with that. And I like that there's a lot of artifact reducers. You've got Cloud Key. For 3 mana, you choose artifact, creature, enchantment, or sorcery. That costs 1 less. Foundry Inspector, artifacts cost 1 less. In white, you've got Starnheim Courser, which says artifact and enchantments cost less. And then in green-black, you've got Umori the Collector that says when it enters, choose a card type, and that card type costs less. So you're choosing artifact to reduce that here.
Yeah.
You've got redundancy in 3 cards already in just a Grolnok deck in green-blue. So if Grolnok's your commander, you can do all this with just Grolnok. That's kind of crazy.
There's still a few more things, though,
yeah,
that you could do with Grolnok.
Yeah.
So this next one is actually using one piece from an old Breakfast Hulk combo. So at the helm, we have Grolnok, and the one part of Breakfast Hulk, if you're not familiar, this was a Protean Hulk CEDH combo, uses Cephalid Illusionist. So Cephalid Illusionist is a 2-mana 1/1 Cephalid Wizard. With the important text, it says whenever Cephalid Illusionist becomes the target of a spell or ability, put the top 3 cards of your library into your graveyard. With Grolnok, those are going to go into exile with frog counters. Using an artifact like Lightning Greaves that has a 0 equip cost, something that costs 0 in order to target the Cephalid Illusionist in order to have that trigger, and then some sort of game-winning combo. In this case, we're going to look at Thassa's Oracle. What is going to happen is we're going to have Grolnok and Cephalid Illusionist and Lightning Greaves on the battlefield. Thassa's Oracle, not on the battlefield. It's going to be in our deck or in our hand. We need to have ways of casting it. And what we're going to do is by continually switching Lightning Greaves from Grolnok the Omnivore to Cephalid Illusionist, every time we target Cephalid Illusionist with Lightning Greaves, we're going to mill 3 cards into exile. Eventually, one of those cards will be Thassa's Oracle. We will then continue to mill our deck until we have no cards left in our library, cast the Thassa's Oracle, and win with the Thassa's Oracle, enter the battlefield trigger. So if you're not familiar, Nomads in Kor, was the card that was used in Breakfast Hulk before. It's a 1-white, 1/1 Kor Nomad Soldier that you could pay 0 and the next 1 damage that would be dealt to Nomads. This turn is instead dealt to the targeted creature instead. So you could expand this to include white and that creature if you wanted to. Lightning Greaves is a little bit slow. It's a sorcery speed combo. Because of this, you can't equip at instant speed. Maybe you're going to use something like Sigarda's Aid or something that's going to allow you to equip at instant speed. Although that one, I think, is flash and it equips when it enters the battlefield. There are some equip at instant speed stuff that maybe you can use in combination with Lightning Greaves, but it's cool to see that you can start with 80 cards in your library and combo off and win with this.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. This card is really cool. I think the Grolnaut deck is one of those where if you're building it with these, it's gonna be one of those, oops, I jumped a little high in the power very quickly, which is one of the reasons my Lannis deck is not being played very often. It does nothing if I don't run those cards out quick, or it just feels too, it feels easy.
Sure.
I love it though.
It's pretty nice.
It's pretty nice.
Now, if you have any other ways of milling your entire library, then all you need is Grolnaut Kenthassa's Oracle. And we know there's tons of ways of doing that.
Yeah, there's a lot.
So Mesmeric Orb Assault Monolith is my favorite combo to do to mill myself out and my opponents.
Yeah.
So try that one out in your Grolnaut deck and see how many different combos you can do in Grolnaut.
The next card is Helena and Elena Partners. So this is the 2/3 human ranger that costs 2 red green. Has first strike and reach, and they have at the beginning of combat on your turn, put X++1/+1 counters on another target creature you control where X is Helena and Elena's power. That creature gains haste until end of turn. We're going to combo that with Sage of Hours blue, a 1/1 human wizard for 1 and a blue. It has heroic. Whenever you cast a spell that targets Sage of Hours, put a +1/+1 counter on it. And it also says remove all +1/+1 counters from Sage of Hours. For every 5 counters removed this way, take an extra turn. So all you have to do here is be able to get Helena and Elena's power to 5 consistently every turn.
Well, 3+1/+1 counters or something, maybe?
3+1/+1 counters or... enchantment. I mean, even just a giant growth.
Giant growth under an Ice Crown Scepter, so you can use it every single turn.
Sheesh.
There you
now,
go.
Now, it can't be your commander. So you're looking at Teemer here. So, looking at commanders that might work well with this, Anamar, Soul of Elements, which is just a creature-based deck, maybe a Surak Dragoncaller, creature spells can't be countered. Other creatures you control have trample. So, something like that, where even after you put all those counters on that sage, maybe you still want to swing with 6 power before you remove those counters.
When we previewed Helena and Elena, because it's one of the cards that we talked about, I never even thought about comboing off with +1/+1 counters. This right here with Sage of Hours makes me think, like, what about Walking Ballista? What about Triskelion? What about all these other creatures that abuse +1/+1 counters? Maybe they fit within the red green color pie, and Helena and Elena can be our commanders. But infinite turns is hard to turn down.
It is hard to turn down, and it's not as consistent because it's not in your actual commander's colors here, color identity. So you're gonna have something else as your commander. But this is fun if you're playing it outside. Maybe I don't know if Sage of Hours is in Historic. It's in Pioneer.
Yeah.
Oh, Pioneer turn.
There you go. And if you're playing a Teemer or more colors human deck, these are both humans. Yeah. So there you go. So I know we already talked about some zombies, but I feel like we should talk about zombies a little bit more. I mean, we're on Innistrad. So how about Arc Ghoul of Thraben? So this is a 3-mana zombie cleric for 2 and a black that has 3 power and 2 toughness. It says whenever Arc Ghoul of Thraben or another zombie you control dies, look at the top card of your library. If it's a zombie card, you may reveal it and put it into your hand. If you don't put that card into your hand, you may put it into your graveyard. In combination with an enchantment called Mortuary from Stronghold, 3 and a black, this says whenever any creature is put into your graveyard from play, put that creature on top of your library. We're going to combine this with, again, something that's going to make zombies cause 0, whether it's Rooftop Storm, Omniscience, or maybe it's the ultimate from your Tamiyo.
Okay.
That you have.
Yeah.
Why not? And then also in combination with a sacrifice permanent. This time we're going to use Phyrexian Altar, but you can use any sacrifice outlet that you have. And what it's going to do is you're going to have all permanents on the battlefield. You're going to activate Phyrexian Altar to sacrifice Arc Ghoul of Thraben. You're going to get some mana. When it dies, it's going to go back on top of your library. You're going to be able to Cast it for zero mana, keep it going onto the battlefield. It's going to be able to produce infinite colored mana, infinite enter the battlefield, leave the battlefield, triggers, death triggers, sacrifice triggers, and infinite amount of storm.
Yeah, because when it dies, its trigger's going to happen, and you get to look at the top card of your library. So you're So it will be there. It is a zombie, so you get to put it directly into your hand and cast it for free. You can use Phyrexian Altar, Goblin Varmint, Ashnod's Altar. Again, Thermopod can be included.
There you go.
This is another one of those combos that you could slot this easily into a black blue zombie deck, so it could go into Wilhelm. It can also be in mono black if you wanted to use Phyrexian Altar with Nested Shambler. You can do it in mono black.
That's right. So if you don't have a way to cast your spells for free, you have to have a way of producing the amount of mana to cast them. So yeah, Nested Shambler, when it dies, you get a 1/1 green squirrel that you can sacrifice to your Phyrexian Altar, produce 2 black mana by sacrificing the Shambler and the token. Now you're netting mana. The same can be said for Shambling Ghast from AFR. When it dies, it creates a treasure token, so you can produce infinite treasure tokens and you can save them for later because it's only going to cost the 1 black in order to recast your Shambling Ghast. So fantastic that we have more combos. It does kind of seem like a Nombo when you think about Mortuary in a zombie like reanimator type deck, because Mortuary is going to prevent creatures from going to your graveyard ever. So keep that in mind when you are playing with it. Don't just run out Mortuary thinking that you're going to get the combo at some point later, because you might be hindering yourself in the game getting your zombies back.
Right. So I want to talk about, this is one of the more combination of card, I guess, more expensive combination of cards. So you do have to have 4 cards here, but I want to talk about Angelic Quartermaster. So this is a 3/3 angel, angel soldier for 3 white with flying. It says when Angelic Quartermaster enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on each of up to 2 other target creatures. So if you combine this with cards like Emile the Blessed, who we've mentioned already, a 4/4 unicorn for 2 white, it has pay 3, exile another creature you control, then return to the battlefield under its owner's control, with cards that will allow you to remove counters and make additional mana. And then you do have to have a way to double your +1/+1 counters. So something like Hardened Scales or Peer, Imaginative Rascal, or a Doubling Season, those types of effects that are going to put multiple +1/+1 counters, they're going to get you there. So what we're looking at is Cryptic Trilobite, which is an XX Trilobite. It says when it enters the battlefield, it enters with X +1/+1 counters on it. You can remove a +1/+1 counter from it to add 2 colorless mana. Spend this mana only to activate abilities. So what you're doing here is you're casting the Quartermaster. You're going to put counters on the Trilobite to be able to remove them to activate a meal to continuously bounce the Angelic Quartermaster. And because of Hardened Scales, you're putting double +1/+1 counters on whatever you're putting them on. Mm-hmm. So you can make infinite colorless mana that can only be spent to activate abilities because of the Trilobite, but you get infinite +1/+1 counters and then essentially infinite blinking, which is giving you leaves the battlefield and enters the battlefield. And in this case, this might not look like a ton if you combine this obviously with maybe black. You can get triggers that off of your Nakara if you're running like a Nakara and Yannick deck. It fits really well just into general Abzan counters decks. It seems fun. You're probably already running Emile and maybe even Hardened Scales. I'm not sure you're running the Cryptic Trilobite, but if you're running counters, you might be. But Angelic Quartermaster seems fun, and this is one of those splashy ones where if you assemble this in a game, it's going to be a wow factor.
Oh, yeah.
This is cool.
It's cool that you get to put +1/+1 counters on Trilobite and one other creature, too. So you're going to make Emile to the point where it's going to kill with commander damage. Maybe you have a Walking Ballista and you're just going to combo off with that and win that way.
Yeah, you can have, I guess you can have Emile the Blessed as your commander for this. Yes, I didn't even think about that until just now.
Oh, yeah. And it gets even, if you really want to go into it, you can have a Doubling Cube, and Doubling Cube will double your mana, and the doubled mana from Doubling Cube will not have the restriction where it can only be used on activated abilities. So there is a way to actually produce infinite colorless mana that you can use for all of your spells. Okay, so The last one, I think you're going to like this one. I know it's not going to fit in the 99, but I think you should run like a bribery or a treachery or something in order to steal this permanent for your Locust God deck using a new enchantment, an uncommon called Laid to Rest. It's a green enchantment, so you, again, won't be able to use it in your Locust God deck, but for three and a green, you have whenever a human you control dies, draw a card, and whenever a creature you control with a plus one counter on it dies, you gain two life. In combination with the Locust God, a six mana god, a four blue red legendary creature, 4/4 with flying, with the important text that says, whenever you draw a card, create a 1/1 blue and red insect creature token with flying and haste. Now, we're going back to that creature override, so Maskwood Nexus, Conspiracy, and Arcane Adaptation, and Xenograph, in order to make all of the creatures into humans, make sure the Locust God is creating 1/1 humans instead of 1/1 insects, and a sacrifice altar, sacrifice permanent, such as Phyrexian Altar. What's going to happen is you're going to start the battle or start the turn with all the permanents on the battlefield. You need to have a way to draw a card. And once you draw a card or you already have a Locust on the battlefield, you're going to create a Locust. It's actually going to be a 1/1 human either instead or in addition, depending on how you're overriding. You're going to be able to sacrifice it. You're going to be sacrificing a human, which will allow you to draw a card. You're going to create another human because of that. And you're going to be able to repeat that infinitely to draw out your entire deck, create nearly an infinite number of colored mana, depending on if you can reshuffle, nearly infinite, enter the battlefield, leave the battlefield, death triggers and sacrifice triggers. So it's in the teamer colors.
So the commander I would play this with, honestly, is Xyrus the Writhing Storm.
There you go.
Because if you have the creature override, you can still make all of the snakes that you're making when your opponents are drawing extra cards into humans to draw into the Locust God to get to the combo engine.
That's
wonderful. This fits perfectly in Xyrus.
That is perfect. Wow.
I like it a lot.
I mean, on top of the fact that Laid to Rest is going to be played in so many other decks just for token generation, it's I'm surprised that Laid to Rest isn't going into your Sigarda deck, honestly.
Maybe
it is.
It will be.
Okay.
I'm at that point with the Sigarda deck. It's just too hard to make cuts at this point.
Just play less lands. That's my solution.
I can't. Because the nice thing is that the land tax tutoring can be turned into 1/1 humans late. You know, You know, I have a purpose for all my cards. But that's it for this week's episode. Commander Spellbook coming in hot again. We love these combos.
Yeah.
Love this one.
Keep watching it because we know that they're getting updates daily. I think there were some updates this morning just on the featured page. So keep hopping on there to see if there's new combos that we didn't discuss today that end up on the website.
There's plenty we didn't discuss and tell us what combos you're planning on playing and what combos that may not be on the website. And if they're not, go submit them in their Discord.
That's right.
Because you can get featured on their website then.
Boom.
Boom. That's it. I'm on Twitter at AT Flory.
And I'm on Twitter at Wormcoil Engine. And we want to give a special thanks to Ryan Nichols, our producer and editor. Thank you so much. And Chris Wolf, who handles all of our graphic design. Thank you so much. And to all you listeners out there, thank you for listening. We appreciate you listening and the feedback and everything that you give us. And we're going to talk to you next week.
Maybe Vegas this week. Goodbye.
Bye. Viva Magic the Gathering.